Ramsey TV.
Jesus Christ did two different things for us on the cross. Things, different things. I mean, that's putting it mildly, understating it ridiculously. Jesus Christ accomplished two incredible gifts by doing two different things. He suffered and he died. We tend to lump those things into one. In fact, that was a creed when I was growing up. In one of the automatic prayers we used to pray, Christ suffered, died, and was buried. Well, he wasn't buried. He didn't come out of the grave by putting a hand up through the soil. He was entombed. But Christ suffered and he died. And we think of those two things as one package. But they deal with two different problems that humanity has. They deal with two different aspects of Christ. They deal with the two things I told you yesterday that happened with Adam, and they produce two different results. This is Martin Zender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula here in my kitchen in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to the show. We're going to go deep today. Going to dive deep. You may never have heard this. I'm going to open some words for you in Romans 5 that you may have never seen. You've seen them because you've read them, but you haven't realized their import. This is mature truth. This is meat, what I'm going to give you today. I told you yesterday that Adam not only sinned, but he became an enemy of God. And because of his sin, he did pass death onto all humanity, but in the immediate circumstances there, because of his sin, he suffered. The ground was cursed. Eve's childbearing was cursed. But for what he became something that day. Besides what he did a bad thing, but he became an enemy of God. He became someone, his wife with him, who did not listen to God, did not revere God. And this was a deeper problem. And because it stemmed from the sin, but because of the sin now, there was distance between God and man. And the end result of this was that mortality began coursing through the veins of the race. And the race to die would be dying. Dying would be the process that would lead up to death. And this is what is passed on to all humanity. And this is what comes to us irrespective of our deeds. Because as I told you yesterday, the one-day-old baby is just as dead as Adolf Hitler. Death is the great leveler. No adjustments are made in death. Death does not deal with people's sins because you can't adjust it. You can't adjust death. You can't say, well, we're going to kill that person. We're going to make that person a little bit dead. We're going to make this person more dead. No, it's a great equalizer. As I told you yesterday, the way God deals with sin is he judges people while they're alive at the great white throne. So on the cross, Jesus Christ suffered and he died. And you will see these two different aspects brought up in Romans. I'm going to give you the overview first, and then we'll go into the scriptures. The suffering of Christ dealt with our sins. He did something. He suffered for what we do. It was a do that answered a do. It was suffering for the sins. I just said that, but I can't say it. I try to say it better, but I can't. I can't say it any better. He suffered. He did something for what we do. But he became something for what we are. What did he become? Dead. He became dead. He entered the death state for the deeper problem of enmity with God. And we see two different aspects of Christ. We see him as Christ, which is a title. As Christ, he's the anointed one. He's the one said to suffer. He's the one who shed his blood. And it is Christ. his role as Christ that answers our sins, that suffers for our sins. And there's another aspect that gives his blood for our sins. His blood is for our sins. But his death is another aspect for the deeper problem of our enmity, that thing that Adam passed on to us. And for that he entered the death state. Right? He died. This is a deeper thing than his suffering. The benefits that come to us are twofold, based on the two different things that he did. His suffering, dealing with sin, spilling of his blood, and his aspect as of Christ brings us justification. We are justified in his blood, but we are conciliated to God through his death. The death of Christ is what brings peace, because there's now a new humanity. Why? Because the old humanity went to the tomb with Christ. That's the deeper problem, the old humanity. Israel's sins were forgiven, overlooked, I should say, and forgiven every year, right? The Day of Atonement. But they came back, they came back, they came back. It was dealt with over and over again, year after year after year. Christ died once for all the sins, but in case anybody had any idea that they're going to come back, I give you the analogy of when my dad used to tell me when I had to pick the weeds as a kid, get them by the root, get them by the root, because if you don't get the weeds by the root, they're going to come back. Our root problem is the old humanity, Adam coursing through our veins. That problem was dealt with by the death of Christ. It was far more, as terrible as his sufferings were, the death of Christ went beneath it. It went to the cause. This is why we don't mess with sin anymore. I'm not saying we don't sin. I'm just saying we're not sin conscious anymore. Israel is. They still are. That's why your friends love Israel stuff, because they like to play around with their sins. They like to try to fix their sins. They like to conquer their sins. They like to put their life up on a chart and measure their progress against their sins. And they compete with each other. That's an Israel thing, because Israel's not a new humanity. The new humanity truth is not brought to Israel. That's not for them, because there's still Jew and Greek in the kingdom. This is why there are 12 thrones. And even on the new earth, there are 12 portals with the 12 names of the apostles. 12. What does that remind you of? It's Israel, Israel, Israel. But in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, because Paul presents us with a far more radical truth, that we are a new humanity. This is why we're so cool. This is why I can say, don't worry about your sin. The Israel types freak out over that. The wannabe Israelites, they can't handle it. They freak out because they don't understand the death of Christ. They get the suffering, but they don't get the deeper thing, the death. The suffering brings us justification, which is great enough. That God no longer considers your sins to be sins. He looks at you as if you are righteous, and he will one day constitute you righteous. But now you are reckoned righteous. And we apprehend this by faith. We are reckoned to be righteous. But this other thing, the analogy I give is in a courtroom, the judge can pronounce you not guilty. And that's what justification is. You're not guilty. You're justified. You're right. You're not guilty. But it doesn't mean you go to lunch with a judge. It doesn't mean you have dinner with a judge and his wife. It doesn't mean you go on vacation with a judge. But conciliation, that is peace being made with God, that does mean that. Justification, these are the two truths in Romans 5, justification and conciliation. Justification is sort of known in Christianity. No, I take it back. It's not known in Christianity, because they're still fighting their sins. They don't realize that they've been made righteous. They throw around these theological terms, but they have no freaking idea what they mean. No, they don't. They don't. They confuse it with pardon, with forgiveness. Yes. They talk about being justified, and then they beg God to forgive them for their sins. They don't realize that a justified person doesn't have to beg anybody for the forgiveness of sins, because how do you forgive a person who's righteous? What does the judge say? We're going to overlook the penalty here. Oh, how would this be? The judge pronounces you not guilty. And then after that, he says, and I'm also going to overlook the penalty. What do you mean you're going to overlook the penalty? There's no penalty. I'm not guilty of the crime. I didn't do it. So the idea of a penalty is nowhere in the vicinity. So we have Christ versus the Son. It's the Son, his aspect of the Son of God, the Son that gave his life. Christ shed his, we're talking about the same person, but different aspects. Christ shed his blood for sinners. The Son entered the death state for enemies. The blood that was shed for sin produces justification. The death state entered into by the Son of God produces a deeper thing, which is peace with God, conciliation. It is built on justification. Justification, you can't have peace with God unless you know that your sins are no longer being reckoned against you. In fact, it's more than that. They're not only not being reckoned against you, it's like they're gone. As far as the east is from the west, like you, every single one of your mistakes has been justified. Like, yeah, that was right, because you learned something from it, because it made you the person you are, brought you to Christ. He justifies all our sins. I mean, that's crazy. Talk about an alchemist. It makes so the sins are not really sins anymore. The closest thing I can give you is Joseph and his brothers in Egypt. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So it was a sin and a not sin at the same time. Of course, according to their judgment, the brothers, it was sin, but the great alchemist God and his spokesman, in this case Joseph, turns it around and says, you meant it for evil, but tell you what, it was the best thing that ever happened. Same with the crucifixion of Christ. So Christ suffered for what we do. The Son of God died for what we are. Here we go. I'm going to show you this in Romans 5. Again, it's something you probably never seen before. Maybe you have, I don't know, but allow me. Verse 8 of Romans 5, God is commending this love of his to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, this is the sin problem, Christ, the anointed one, this is his office, Christ died for our sakes. Much rather now being justified in his blood. So the dying has to do with the blood. Blood in Scripture, blood represents suffering. Blood is suffering. Without blood, we don't suffer. And it's the fact that Christ retained his blood while he was on a cross that caused his suffering. The reason they slit the throats of the animals in the sacrifices was if you drain the blood, there's no suffering. If you lose the blood out of your head, you pass out. There's no feeling, there's no sensation. Same with your fingers. There's no blood, there's no sensation. But he retained his blood. His blood was not drained out until after all his suffering was completed and he had entered the death state. So there's nothing magical about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a holy substance. No, it contained plasma, red blood cells, the whole gamut. White blood cells, platelets, whatever is in blood, plasma, that's what his blood was. There's nothing magical about the substance. Blood here is put for a figure of speech to speak of his suffering. His suffering. He shed his blood. The blood represents suffering. Because, again, the soul, Scripture says, the soul is in the blood. I'll put the reference down here. Mistranslation, King James Version, what a surprise. They say the life is in the blood. No. The life is in the spirit, the soul, the feelings, the emotions, the consciousness is in the blood. There you go. You lose blood from your head, you lose consciousness. Lose blood from your extremities, you lose feeling. You lose blood from your body, you don't feel any pain anymore. And if you lose enough of it, you will die. Back to Romans 5. So he died. This speaks of his blood. This speaks of his suffering, because we're going to see it contrasted with the term death. This is why I'm contrasting died with death. Okay, watch. I know it's a fine point. These are fine points. God is commending this love of his to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes, much rather than being now justified. So the death of Christ, Christ dying for our sins produces justification. So much rather than being now justified in his blood, that's why I relate died to blood and I relate it to suffering. Here it comes. Watch this. We shall be saved from indignation through him. Yes, being justified saves you from indignation. For if, now we turn a corner and we're going to talk about the deeper problem of enmity, and we're going to talk about conciliation, that is peace. For if being enemies, that's what I've been talking about, Adam became a sinner and an enemy, so did we. If being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of his son. Look at all these different terms. Death versus died, son versus Christ, conciliated versus justified, and died versus death. These are not accidental terms. These are two issues, two problems that started with Adam, sinning and enmity, and Christ dealt with both of them. He dealt with both of them. We inherited them both. Again, Adam was the first guy who sinned first, then inherited death. Romans 5:12, death is passed on to us and we sin because of that, but the two problems are always this: sin and enmity. For sin, Christ suffers. For the enmity, he enters the death state. Again, this answers both things that Adam did. Completely answers it. And it is so interesting how he's called God's son. This is the relationship part of it. The justification is judicial. The justification is a courtroom scene. It's cold. I mean, it's effective as hell, but it's cold. It's a judge bangs the gavel, not guilty. Well, how did that happen? Because Christ suffered, spilled his blood, died for your sake, not guilty. But then the judge puts his arm around you and says, I want you to come to my home. I want you to dine with me. What? How did this happen? Because God's son entered the death state, gave not only his blood, but his life. Gave his life. There it is. Much rather being conciliated, we shall be saved in his life. Much rather being conciliated, we shall be saved in his life. Blood versus life. He gave his blood. That's bad enough. That's hard enough. But he also gave his life as the agent of God, as the anointed one. He suffers, but as the son of God, he enters the death state. And that brings us peace. So, there's no problem that we don't have. All other problems are compared to sin and death, compared to sin and enmity, compared to the problems that we face in these monstrosities, all our other problems fade into insignificance. You deal with these babies, you've dealt with it all, and Christ did. And we see the beautiful unfolding. Paul was dictating this letter to Tertius, his scribe, and I don't even know if he understood the depth of what he was saying. He might have had Tertius read it back to him, and he himself is going, wow, wow. Christ versus the Son, suffering versus the death state, blood versus life, justification versus conciliation. Wow. He himself probably stood back and just was amazed. I'm amazed. And I hope that in this teaching of mine from my kitchen, I hope you're amazed. And I hope you're thankful. Because the only thing we can offer God now, we can't improve upon the sacrifice that he made. The awfulness of the suffering and the horror of entering into the death state. What can we do to improve that? What can we do? What can we do? We can't even participate in it. But this is what we can do. We can be thankful for it. And I'm really thankful for it right now. And I know that you are too. So all thanks be to God and his Christ, the Son of his love, taking the form of humanity, suffers death, even the death of the cross, for our sakes.